Oh, Cliff. It's time. It's the big day. I'm so excited.
Kiddo, I cannot believe that we are at this wedding. Can you believe that you and I are at this wedding?
Did you ever think that all those years ago, when Mr. Snodbottom first became our producer and Mrs. Potter Butterbur graced our airwaves for the first time, that they would ever be a couple and getting married?
No, because, you know, when Mr. Snodbottom came to us, when he discovered us on the streets, we were, you know, he was married. And
yes,
so
I know.
Went to that bitter divorce.
Petunia.
Yeah. I don't even know if he told her he's getting married again. So, but yeah, so, you know, married, went through that bitter divorce, all those divorce journals that he kept. And now, beautiful love has blossomed. Mrs. Potter Butterbrusher, of course, been married so many times.
I know. Well, this is the one, though, and I can't wait to see her. We should go in and say hello to her before the wedding.
Oh, we should. We gotta see what kind of jitters she's got.
Oh, here we go.
One moment, please, dear. Hold on.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, it's electric. The excitement is electric, I must say.
Hello, dears. Oh, I was so nervous that it was Mr. Snodbottom. I was afraid he'd walk in and see me. It's not proper etiquette to see the bride on the wedding day, you know, dears.
Listen, I know that he would know that and respect your etiquette wishes on this day of all days.
Well, of course. I'm Mrs. Potter Butterbutterchurn. I'm so excited that you're getting married today.
Oh, of course, dear. Come on in. I'm just so excited.
This is a lovely dress.
Oh,
it's a lovely dress.
Who's the designer?
Oh, dear, it's Vera Wang. I couldn't afford to Vera Wang,
Vera
dear.
Vera Wang.
I work for you two. I don't work for a high-class studio.
Blame for our salaries, right? Your soon-to-be husband.
Well, hopefully we can work something out, dear.
Oh, and I'm wearing our fatty instead of Armani.
Our fatty.
Oh, dear. God. You look great, both of you, dear.
I'm wearing Oshkosh, bagosh, goddammit, I'm fat.
Oh, dear, please, keep it clean on my wedding day.
I apologize
for him. Butter.
You know he's the crew.
People have been lined up around in Busheltown at the Potter Butter Butter Churn Center for the Arts. They've been lined up to get into the wedding for hours.
Oh, I know. Isn't it wonderful? I saw Charles the contractor on the way in. He's looking wonderful and dapper.
He has been sitting in a lawn chair on the sidewalk
for
6 months. That's why he never calls into our show anymore.
Busy.
He's been waiting for your wedding.
Oh, dear, you slay me. Well, I have got to get ready. I'm so nervous. I have to get my makeup ready. Oh, it's got to be perfect.
Oh, no, we're going to go. We're going to leave you alone. I wanted to give you this one thing, though, Mrs. Potter Butterbutterchurn. It's something blue. It's a blue handkerchief. I didn't know if you had something old, new, borrowed, and blue.
Oh, dear, I was still looking. I'm so glad, dear. Oh, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's such proper etiquette, dear.
Listen, I've been listening. Kendall he snoozes sometimes during the other people's segments, but I listen.
Well,
so happy wedding, and we'll see you. We'll see you out there, okay?
Oh, dear. Okay, I'll see you at the other side, dear.
Oh, goodbye, Mrs. Butterbutterchurn. We'll see you later. Oh, so exciting. Oh, let's go say hello to Mr. Snodbottom Glyph.
Oh, my God. Oh, Kendall, I think... can you believe it? He's been so nervous. He's been bumping into stuff for weeks.
His irritable bowel syndrome has been acting up in the studio. I know it.
It's been acting up. All the belches he's let us get away with. He says that he barely even listens to the show anymore as we do it.
I haven't seen him with his counter clicking counts every time he belched.
No, we had to tell him in the commercial break that time that Rayanne came through the portal. He wasn't even looking in the studio. He didn't know she's there.
He was snoozing off. All right, well, let's go. Let's go see him. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Yes, Kettle Boy.
Oh, Mr. Snodbottom.
Oh.
Hey, Mr. Snodbottom. How? Not getting cold feet, are ya?
Oh.
Well, no, of course not. Now, I'm a little nervous, but that's only because Mrs. Potter Butterchurn and I, we've written our own vows.
Oh, my.
Oh, okay.
Don't you know? And I try to write the vows on my hand. But you know, boy, Right now, my palms are so sweaty on the day of my wedding. It was same my first wife, Petunia. It was flop sweat from my palms.
Oh. So,
was it, Kendall, was it like that for you when you got married the first time?
Well, it did. It hit me right at the last minute. It was terrifying. But, you know, there's no shame in writing your vows on a piece of paper and taking them out there with you.
There's not, Kendall, there is shame. Do you remember at your wedding how I wept profusely throughout the entire...
There is shame if one of your groomsmen's weeping more than you are.
I was... Kendall's mother, relatively composed compared to how I was as I was standing there next to you.
As will be the same today, Mr. Snodbottom, as we go out there.
Oh, boy. Now, boys, I want to thank you so much. Oh, Kendall.
Oh, Miss...
Have you talked to Mrs. Potter Butter Buttercern today?
Oh, well, I did. I saw her a moment ago. She looked beautiful.
Well, boy, did she mention anything to you in particular about the wedding ceremony itself?
As in, what do you mean?
Well, Kendall, boy, my dear Catholic priest that was going to officiate the wedding, he was arraigned this morning for child molestation charges.
Oh my goodness.
No.
I'm not surprised.
I meant he was indicted for child molestation charges. And he calls.
Right
he
here in Busheltown.
Be here. Busheltown. Listen, boy, nobody's safe from the Catholic priest.
Tell me about it.
He's in prison, needless to say, and I wanted to know, boy, would you officiate this wedding?
Oh, Mr. Snodbottom, I've never been asked such a one. I mean, I did sign up on that website to become a preacher, but I didn't know I'd ever get to use it.
Oh my God, Kendall. You've got to say yes.
Oh, I will save this wedding, just like I saved Christmas, Mr. Snodbottom. I will do it for you, and I will do it for Mrs. Potter Butter Buttercern. All right, well, Mr. Snodbottom, I don't want to hold you. You get ready, and I'm going to give you some time on your own, because I needed time for myself. And I'll tell you what one of my groomsmen said. I got a car waiting for you with the engine running if you get the cold feet.
With boy, you know she's the love of my life.
I know. I'm just joking with you. Well, we'll see you out there up front, all right?
All right, boy.
Okay, bye, Mr. Snodbottom. Bye-bye.
Oh, Cliff, all right, I'm so excited and nervous at the same time. I'm about to go preach this wedding for our producer.
Okay,
I hope I don't belch in the middle of it.
Don't think of it as preaching. Think of it as doing whatever people who are accredited on the internet do when they're marrying two other people.
Well, I will try. I will try my hardest. All right. Wish me luck.
Luck.
Beautiful night, we're looking for something dumb to do.
Hey baby, I think I wanna marry you.
Is it the look in your eyes, or is it this dancing juice?
Who cares, baby? I think I wanna marry you.
Well, I know this little chapel on the boulevard we can go. No one will know. So come on, girl.
Who cares if we're trash? Got a pocket full of cash we can blow. Shots of Patron. And it's on, girl.
Don't say no, 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 no. Just say yeah, 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 yeah. And we'll go, 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 go. If you're ready, like I'm ready.
Cause it's a beautiful night. We're looking for something dumb to do. Hey baby, I think I wanna marry you.
Is it the look in your eyes? Or is it this dancing juice? Who cares, baby? I think I wanna marry you.
I'll go get a ring, let the choir bells sing like ooh. So what you wanna do? Let's just run, girl.
If we wake up and you wanna break up, that's cool. No, I won't blame you. It was fun, girl.
Don't say no, 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 no. Just say yeah, 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 yeah. And we'll go, 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 go. If you're ready, like I'm ready.
Cause it's a beautiful night. We're looking for something dumb to do. Hey, baby, I think I wanna marry you.
Is it the look in your eyes? Or is it this dancing juice? Who cares, baby? I think I wanna marry you. Just say I do. Tell me right now, baby. Tell me right now, baby, baby.
Cause it's a beautiful night.
We're looking for something dumb to do. Hey, baby, I think I wanna marry you.
Is it the look in your eyes? Or is it this dancing juice? Who cares, baby? I think I wanna marry you.
Oh, Mr. Cutter, what a turn. Mr. Snodbottom, you both look so wonderful.
Thank you, dear. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to let everyone know that I'm going to be officiating the wedding today. There was a little issue with the previous officiator, so I will be following. So I have a book here. I'm a little nervous, but I'm going to try to follow this book as we go. Okay. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today in the presence of these witnesses to join Mrs. Potterbutter Butterchurn and Mr. Snodbottom in matrimony, which is commended to be honorable among all, and therefore is not by any to be entered into unadvisedly or lightly, but reverently, discreetly, prudently, and solemnly. Into this holiest of estates, these two persons present now come to be joined. If any person can show just cause why they may not be joined together, let them speak now or forever hold their peace. Very well. All right, I'd like to introduce Mr. Snodbottom's niece's Francine. She's going to read a poem for us.
Love is patient. Love is kind and envies no one. Love is never boastful, nor conceited, nor rude. Never selfish, not quick to take offense. There is nothing love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, its hope, and endurance. In a word, there are three things that last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them all is love. And that is what was said by God.
All right, and at this time, I would like to introduce our first lady of Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast, Rayanne. She is going to read an original love poem that she penned for the bride and groom.
It is my honor and privilege to be here to celebrate this wonderful and momentous occasion, the marriage of two of my best and most favored friends, Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn, and of course, Mr. Snodbottom. So, without further ado, please allow me to recite for you an original poem written for this occasion. And in the morning, you are the sun across my ample fields, a bead of dew, a blossom, a fire spark to burn, oh, Potter Butter, Butter Churn. And on the wind I hear you singing an ever-changing song. Winter into spring and summer into autumn, oh, my precious, my snod bottom. Our love is like a macaroon, crunchy, toasty, and fragrant as perfume. No cook or farmer, no mule in a sty, has ever known a harvest as bountiful as thy. Oh, my love, my darling, the apple of my rye. Congratulations, you two.
Kendall, is there a woodpecker in here or something? I was hearing.
All right. Thank you very much, Rayanne. And now it is time. I tried to talk Cliff out of this, Mrs. Potter Butterchurn, but he is going to sing a song for the two of you. I'm sure it's going to be wonderful as our bride and groom light the unity candle.
We've tried our hand at love before. We've been around the game enough to know the score. But then is now is now. Now is all that matters anyhow. Make believe it's your first time. Leave your sadness behind. Make believe it's your first time, and I'll make believe it's mine. The door is closed. It's you and me. Take our time with love the way it ought to be. The moment's ours, and tonight's the night. And if we fall in love, well, that's all right. Make believe it's your first time. Leave your sadness behind. Make believe it's your first time, and I'll make believe it's mine. So close your eyes and hold me close. Let our hearts pretend. Oh, this love is ours to share tonight, and it might never end. Make believe it's your first time. Leave your sadness behind. Make believe it's your first time, and I'll make believe it's mine. Make believe it's your first time, and I'll make believe it's mine. Oh, I'd like to thank the bridesmaids for the backup, and Kendall, as always, for the piano.
All right, and now I would like the bride and groom, they have written their own vows, and they're going to read them now. Mr. Snodbottom.
I, Mr. Snodbottom, take you, Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn, to be my friend, my lover, and my wife. I will be yours in times of plenty and in times of want, in times of sickness and in times of health, in times of joy and in times of sorrow, in times of failure and in times of triumph. I promise to cherish and respect you, girl, to care for and protect you, to comfort and encourage you, and stay with you for all eternity, my dear one.
Oh, dear, that was beautiful, dear.
All right, Mrs. Potter Butter Butterturn, do you have your vows?
Of course, dear, of course. Wouldn't be proper etiquette, you know. I, Mrs. Potter Butter Butterturn, take you, Mr. Snodbottom, to be my partner, loving what I know of you and trusting what I do not yet know. I eagerly anticipate the chance to grow together, getting to know the man you will become and falling in love a little more every day. May our love grow like a rye bush without ceasing. I promise to love and cherish you through whatever life may bring us. I love you.
Oh, that was beautiful, Mrs. Potter Butterchurn. I can't do this without crying up here. Now, if Cliff, the co-best man, will give Mr. Snodbottom the ring.
Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn, I give you this ring to wear with love and joy. As a ring has no end, neither shall my love for you. I choose you to be my wife this day and forevermore.
I accept you!
Now, if the matron of honor, Mrs. Gloria Vanderbilt, will give Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn the ring.
Oh, thank you, dear. Because this ring is perfectly symmetrical, it signifies the perfection of true love. As I place it on your finger, I give you all that I am and ever hope to be.
I accept.
Her laugh was the first step down the aisle. His hand would be hers to hold forever. His forever was as simple as her smile. He said she was what was missing. She said instantly she knew. She was a question to be answered, and his answer was, I do. By the power vested in me by the city of Busheltown and www.weddingministers.com, I now pronounce you married. You may kiss each other.
Oh, if I could have your attention, everybody, please. What a wonderful, wonderful reception we're having here in the rumpus room of the Potter Butter Butter Churn Center for the Arts in Busheltown. Oh, yeah, give it up for the caterers, Mrs. Pussy Bottoms Catering. Oh, what tasty, delectable delights. Kendall, have you loved the delectable delights at this wedding reception?
Oh, Cliff, I have. They've been wonderful.
What a wonderful wedding reception we're all at. Now, we are here. We are so delighted. We are so in love with this loving couple. And we're just here to toast them.
Well, I just got my own mic. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm holding on to this one for dear life.
I know. That's why I had to go get my own. I was searching around. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Searching around. No, you're rooting around through an orange crate there in front of the stage. But now, what do you have to say about the lovely bride and groom?
Well, I love both of them. I look at Mrs.
Of course you do.
Well, of course I do. I look at Mrs. Butterchurn as just like my own mother, but less paranoid, of course.
Yeah.
she tells me so many things as far as etiquette is concerned and the proper way to be a gentleman. And I listen to everything she says. She's so wonderful. I love her dearly, and she couldn't have found a better man than Mr. Snodbottom, and vice versa. Mr. Snodbottom is our lovely, wonderful producer, and he couldn't be nicer. He keeps us on track. He keeps our show running, and he keeps our ratings up. So we love Mr. Snodbottom. I love them both. Here's to both of you to many, many wonderful years.
To many wonderful years, you guys. Now, Kendall.
Yes.
There was this bride, right? And she wanted 3 children. While the young husband said 2 would be enough for him. I hope everybody doesn't mind. I just had these wedding jokes. Our writers, they put them in my tux pocket, hoping I would have a chance to use them.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Oh, well, Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn likes.
Oh, listen, she loves jokes. So you can
keep them clean.
Jokes and crossword puzzles.
Yes.
Now, they discussed this discrepancy, the young bride and her groom,
yes,
for a few minutes. And until the husband thought he'd put an end to this discussion whether to have 2 or 3 children. And he said boldly, after our second child, I'll just have a vasectomy. Ooh. And without a moment's hesitation, Kendall, Mrs. Potter, Butterchurn, Snodbottom, and Mr. Snodbottom, and wedding guests.
Yes.
The bride retorted, well, I hope you'll love the third one just as if it's your own.
Oh, no. Terrible wife that was. I'm keeping it clean.
What a terrible wife.
Mrs. Potter Butter
Butter. Terrible wife.
Well, you know, Cliff, the writers knew better than to give you jokes and not me. So I happen to have a few here. I carry a few with me all the time, actually. So
have to these days.
Let me read this. All right, Cliff. Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn Snodbottom and Mr. Snodbottom. A man walks into a hamburger shop and orders a regular meal. Later, the waitress brings his meal to him. He takes a bite out of it and notices there's a small hair in the hamburger, everybody. So he begins yelling frantically at the waitress. Waitress, there's a hair in my hamburger. I demand to see what's going on. So the waitress, she takes him back where the cook is. And to his demise, he sees the cook take a meat patty and flatten under his armpit. And he said, that is disgusting. And the waitress says, you think that's disgusting? You should see how he makes donuts.
Ooh. Kendall, you have thrown everybody's appetite off here at this wedding
reception. Well, luckily, our caterer is not the people making those donuts.
Luckily for us, we haven't yet cut the cake, so more cake for us.
That was my whole intention of these jokes, was to get more food.
Kendall, ask any man, and he will tell you that any woman's ultimate fantasy is to have 2 men at once.
Oh.
Now, like me and every woman. What is that?
You're every woman. I'm singing at the wedding.
It's all in me. Kendall, while this has been verified by a recent sociological study, it appears that most men do not realize that in this fantasy, one man is cooking and the other one is cleaning.
Domesticated.
Not in my fantasy.
Luckily, I do both of those things.
My fantasy. We're not cleaning. We're getting dirty.
Ouch.
Mama.
All right, well, Cliff, I have one other joke that I want to read for you here. It's in honor of a special person that's out there in the audience here today at the reception. I'm so glad that his parents let him come. Little Johnny, he's here.
Little Johnny. Oh, kidding. We had to sit him at a table all by himself.
I know. Well, I've got a little joke about little Johnny. He hopefully doesn't blush too hard. Now, Cliff and everyone, one day at the end of class, little Johnny's teacher asked the class to go home and think of a story to be concluded with the moral of the story. And the following day, the teacher asked for the first volunteer of the story, and little Susie. She raises her hand. She says, "My dad owns a farm, and every Sunday we load the chickens on the truck and drive home to sell them in the market. Well, one Sunday we hit a big bump, and the eggs flew out of the basket and into the road." And the teacher said, "Well, what is the moral of the story?" And she said, "Don't keep all your eggs in one basket." So that was smart little Susie. So then little Lucy said, "Well, my dad owns a farm too, and every weekend we take the chicken eggs and put them in the incubator. And last week, only 8 of the 12 hatched." And the teacher said, "Well, again, what is the moral of that story?" And little Lucy just said, "Don't count your chickens before they hatch." Again, a smart little girl. So then, next up was smart our friend girl. Right out there in the audience, little Johnny. He says, my Uncle Ted fought in the Vietnam War, and his plane got shot down over enemy territory. He jumped out before it crashed, but could only take a case of beer, a machine gun, and a machete. Now, on the way down, he drank the case of beer. He landed right in the middle of 100 Vietnamese soldiers. He shot 70 of them with a machine gun. He ran out of bullets, so he pulled out the machete, killed 20 more, and then the blade on the machete broke, and he killed the last one with his bare hands. And the teacher said, "Well, what is the moral of that story? What it could possibly be?" And little Johnny says, "Don't screw with Uncle Ted when he's been drinking."
Oh, my God.
I think little Johnny's probably learned that the hard way. Don't little Johnny go home with Uncle Ted if he comes to pick him up.
Kendall, I have one more joke along a similar theme. It starts out like this. Frodo Baggins was romping through the Shire one day when he came upon... That joke was so long, I'm likening it to the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Kendall, when all I really want to do is Frodo his Baggins.
You just wanted to work in Frodo into the reception.
I did. Well, for a minute, I forgot I was at a reception. That joke was so much of my life. But... Kendall, Mrs. Spider-Man and Mr. Snodbottom
are waiting patiently to dance their first dance.
So
we toast you both, and we hope you have many, many wonderful years.
Many wonderful years to you both. Happy wedding.
All right, band, start that music.
Aren't they lovely, Kendall? Dancing.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Cliff and Kendall will be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe. And for more sass, visit cliffandkendall.com.